Today's shiur is Masechta Beis Daf Lamed Tes, and we're going to begin in Daf Lamed Tes Siman Aleph from the third line. Yehuda Paita B'Mayim. We learned in the Mishnah that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if one person contributes the flour to make a dough, and the other person contributes the water, given according to Rabbi Yehuda, water is insignificant. So even though by other situations where two people contribute to make a dough, we are machmer that the tchum where that dough can be carried is only the amount that both of them can carry to. So let's use an extreme example. Let's say one person made an erev to the east side, all the way, 2,000 amos to the east side, and the other person made an erev to the west side, 2,000 amos, and then these two people make a dough together, you couldn't move the dough at all, because they don't have any common area that they can carry. And then, of course, there are different situations where there's less, where there's maybe more of a window in which they could carry together. Yehuda said, if one of the people contributed water, water being insignificant, that person doesn't, his tchum is not a factor. So says the Gemara, mayim in. From the Mishnah, it seems that only water is not considered significant, that he should be considered a partner in the stove. Melech, but let's say he had contributed salt, loy, then he's already considered a significant partner. Ask the Gemara Tanya Yehuda Omer, Mayim u'melech, both water and salt, betalim, bein be'isa, or bein be'gdera, both in a dough and in something cooked. Not just water, but also the person that contributed salt is not considered significant. Answers the Gemara Loikasha. Hava melech sedoimis, hava melech astrukunos. So the way Rashi explains, melech sedoimis is a fine salt, and it gets absorbed in the food. So since it gets totally absorbed in the food, it's not noticeable, and that's why the contribution of salt is insignificant. Other salt, which is not that fine, doesn't get absorbed in the food, and therefore remains distinct, and the person who contributed that salt is a factor in the tchum where this dough may be carried. The Mashah asks an interesting question. He says that we know that what's the reason we wash Mayim Achrayinim. So Gemara says, we wash Mayim Achrayinim because there's Melech Sedoimis, which is dangerous. So it's, and if somebody puts it on his eyes, Chas V'Shalom can cause blinding. So you see that Melech Sedoimis isn't fine, it doesn't get absorbed. So therefore, they say Pshat just the opposite. Melech Sedoimis, which is a coarse salt, doesn't get absorbed. And that's why if somebody contributed Melech Sedoimis, he would still remain a contributor to this dough. On the other hand, the Melech Astrakontis, which is not such a coarse salt, does get absorbed. Ask the Gemara. From our Mishnah, it seems that both when somebody is baking, making a dough, or cooking, according to Rabbi Yehuda, water is not considered significant. What about, ask the Gemara about Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, Mayer Melech, both water and salt, Betel and Be'isa, yes, when one contributes these ingredients to a dough, they're insignificant. However, the aim betel b'kedera, one cooks, Rabbi Yehuda says, they don't become insignificant. So we have here a stira. In our Mishnah Tzmashma, they contribute even something cooked, they're not significant. And here it seems that they are not considered insignificant when cooking. And they write for because they're still used in the gravy. And it's a gemara like kasha. It depends what you cooked. Ha ba'ava, ha baraka. If you cook something thick, like a kugel, so there, everything gets absorbed in the kugel. It's not, there's no gravy, there's no sauce. So therefore, the water and salt are considered insignificant ingredients, and the person who contributed those ingredients doesn't really play a role in the tchum where this item may be carried. Ha baraka, but when you make something soft, let's say a meat with a gravy, so there, these ingredients remain distinct, and somebody who contributed them will affect how far this food may be carried. Says the Mishnah, Hagacheles is a coal, Karagli Habalim. The status of how far can this coal be carried, it's as far as the owners could be walk, that's as far as the coal that they own can be carried. Again, the Meiri says that this is really not a chiddush. Coal is no different than anything else I own, and wherever I could walk, the items I own can be carried. The reason the Mishnah mentions it is because of the next thing. V'shal heves, a flame, given that it's considered insignificant, become mokayim. It's not limited to the person who owned the flame. So as Rashi says, what's the example? Let's say I have a candle with a flame burning. and then you come and you light your candle for my flame. So now that lighting of a flame is not considered that you took something significant from me, and therefore that new flame is not limited or not subject to where I may walk. It becomes your flame, and where you can walk, that's where that flame can be carried. Another din the Mishnah says, Gechelis shel Hegdish, a Gechelis owned by Hegdish, Mayalim bay. If somebody uses it for their own private use, there's a Chiv Me'ila. For shel Hevis, but a flame, Loi Nenim, L'chatchili, you should not have a Noah from a flame that's owned by Hegdish. However, if somebody did, Loi Ma'alim, he has not been over the Isra Me'ila. Another din, a Maitzi Gechelis, L'shus Rabim, if somebody carries out a coal from Rishus HaYoch to Rishus Rabim Shabbos Chayiv, Vishal Hevis, but if somebody carries out a flame, he's potter. And 2 points. Potter means always potter avil osur. It's mutter midaraisa midrabbonin, it's osur. And the Gemara will discuss how could you carry a flame. Ton Rabbonin. Says the Gemara, we learned in a braisa. Chamisha dvarim nemer b'gecheles. The 5 halachas said regarding a coal. Ha-gecheles k'ragle abaylim. The gecheles has the same status as the owner of the coal. However, Vishal Hevis become Makam. A flame, like we explained in the Mishnah, can be carried, not limited to the person who owned the original flame. Another halacha, as we learned in the Mishnah, Gechelis shel Hegdish Mayalim ba. If somebody uses a Gechelis Hegdish for his own personal use, he's Oivir Me'ila. However, Vishal Hevis, Loi Nenim, Lechatchil don't have a No, but there is Loi Me'ila, there is no Me'ila. Now we have a new halacha, Gechelis shel Avodah Zarah. The Gechelis of Avodah Zarah, Surah. You're not allowed to use it. However, Vishal Hevis, the shalheves of Avodah Zarah Mutaris may be used. And there's two machloikasim. One machloikas is when we speak about Gechelis shel Avodah Zarah, what does that mean? Does it mean the Avodah Zarah itself? Let's say somebody was worshipping a Gechelis. Or does it mean the fire that was used for Tekruvus Avodah Zarah as part of the worship of an Avodah Zarah? And when it says shalheves Mutaris, there's also machloikas achroinim. Does that mean that the actual flame that was used for the Avodah Zarah is mutter to be used? Or, that's how most Paiskim learn, or the Prima Gadim says that the actual flame that was used for the Avodah Zarah cannot be used for one's personal use. What it means is, you could take a Avodah Zarah flame, light your candle from it, and then use your candle. But the actual flame that was used for the Avodah Zarah is prohibited, according to Prima Gadim. And another halacha, Hamaytzi Gechelis Rishus Rabim, which we learned again in the Mishnah, if you carry Gechelis Rishus Rabim on Shabbos, Yechayiv, Vishal Hevis, but if you carry only out the flame, it's Potah Avalosur. And a fifth halacha, Hamuda Hanoa Michaveroi, if I made a nether that I'm not going to have any benefit from you, also Begechaltoi, I'm not allowed to benefit from your coal, Umutta Bishal Haftoi, I may use your flame. So Mepharshim asked that in this braisa, we find 5 halachas regarding a Gechelis and Shel Hevis. The Mishnah only mentioned 3 of those 5. So the Mepharshim ask, if the Mishnah had only mentioned the halacha regarding the first halacha, Gechelis Keragle Abaylim, for Shel Hevis Bekom Mokam, we can understand it. Because that's halacha relevant to Hilchos Yontif, to Hilchos Tchumim, which we're learning now. So the Mishnah is only mentioning something which is relevant to what we're learning. But if the Mishnah is expanding, and it's speaking about other halachas regarding Gechelis and Shel Hevis, why did the Mishnah only mention 3 out of 5? Why did the Mishnah mention all 5? So I sorted the Mepharshim answer, a very nice teretz. From the 5 halachas that we just learned regarding Gechelis and Shel Hevis, let's remove the halacha about Tchum, because that certainly belongs in our Mishnah. 2 of the halachas teach us that Shel Hevis is completely mutter. 2 of the halachas teach us that a Shel Hevis is not completely mutter, it's potter avil osur, it's osur midrabbonim. So the Mishnah is trying to contrast. And the Mishnah is telling us, even though by Hegdish, lechatchila yinala rav hano, even though lechatchila yinala carry out a Shel Hevis, so I would think that maybe lechatchila should be machmer by the tchum also. So the Mishnah shows us the contrast. That even though there lechatchila was supposed to be machmer, by tchum we don't have to be machmer at all. But if the Mishnah would have mentioned the din of Muda Hanoah, or the Mishnah would have mentioned the din of Avodah Zarah, there it's mutter. So there's no contrast accomplished, and that's why the Mishnah didn't mention those halakas. Then the Mepharshim asks, the Braisa begins with the words Chamisha Dvarim. Whenever we know a Braisa, a Mishnah begins with a number, it's coming to exclude something. What's it coming to exclude? So some Mefarshim say it's not really coming to exclude anything. That these five halachas were dispersed throughout Shas, and now Tan of this Brisa compiled them together. So he says, I'm compiling five halachas that I found throughout Shas that you're allowed to, that revolve around a Gecheles. Others say that there is a halacha lemaisa to be learned. The halacha, the Gemara says, Masech the Brachas, is that the Gecheles of Avodah Zorah, the Gecheles you're not allowed to use, a coal, you're not allowed to use for Havdalah. So what we're saying is that the Gecheles of these five things has a use, but the Gecheles of Avodah Zorah, the Gecheles, not Avodah Zorah, Gecheles alone may not be used. Why? Because you can't use a Gecheles for Havdalah. And what the Brice is coming to exclude is that one should not use a Gecheles, a coal, even though it's glowing for Havdalah. Ask the Gemara. Mashna why is the halacha by Avodah Zorah that one can have a gnaw from the flame? Or Maishna the Hegdish Tasira? Why by Hegdish, even though it's not Osama Daraisa, it is Osama Darabonim? Answers the Gemara. Avodah Zorah the Misa. Avodah Zorah is repugnant. Ubedila Inshimine. And people anyway stay away from it. That's why like Gosba Rabbonim. Chazal did not see a need to say that the Shalheves is Osir. We're not worried that if you're going to use the Shalheves, you may come to use the Gecheles. Hegdish, however, the Loimos, which is not that repugnant, V'loi B'dili Inshimine, Gosber Rabbanah, Chazal said, don't use the Shalheves, because we're concerned that if you use the Shalheves, you may come to use the Gecheles. So Taisa says that everything is relative. He says that here the Mishnah says, here the Gemara is saying that Hegdish is something that people don't stay away from. He says there are many places in Shas that the Gemara says that people do stay away from Hegdish. So he says we have three levels. We have Chulin, we have Hegdish, and we have Avodah Zorah. So if you compare Hegdish to Chulin, people stay away from Hegdish more than they stay away from Chulin. But if you compare Avodah Zorah to Hegdish, they stay away more from Avodah Zorah than they stay away from Hegdish. And the Sfas has a beautiful pshat in the Gemara. So Sema says Pshat in the Gemara is like this. He says, by Hegdish, why do people stay away from Hegdish? Not because there's anything repugnant about Hegdish. People stay away from Hegdish because that's the halacha. If you let people go near Hegdish, they'll go near Hegdish. So that's why Chazal said we can't let you get close to the flame of a Hegdish because there's nothing that's going to prevent you from getting close to it once it's mutter apidin. And then once you come close to the flame, you may come close to the coal. However, by Avodah Zorah, even if Alpidin it's mutter, people stay away from Avodah Zorah. It's mius. So that's why Chazal didn't have to go through any extra measure, say that the Shalhevis of Avodah Zorah is usur, because we're concerned you're going to come close to the Gecheles. Because people, even without any Gzeira, are not likely to come close to it, given that it's Avodah Zorah, given that it's mius. And that's why Chazal treated the Shalhevis of Avodah Zorah more leniently than they treated the Shalhevis of Hegdish. So we learned in the Mishnah, it's interesting, there's a Shaila I saw, not that relevant to the Gemara, but we're speaking about Avodah Zorah. I saw the Minchas Elazar speaks about the Shaila, the Minchas Yitzchak discusses the Shaila. Here we say that people stay away from Avodah Zorah. And that's why on a certain degree, it's more lenient than Hegdish. The Shailas, especially in Europe, this was very common. They had the clock. There was a big clock on the top of the church, on the top of Avodah Zorah. Are you allowed to look at that clock? Is that considered an enemy of Avodah Zorah, that you're benefiting from an Avodah Zorah? The Michas Halos already discusses it. He says, Apidin it's mutter. But he says that perhaps one should try not to use that as a clock. Michas Yitzchak is Momekel. He says that the reason they used to put the clock on top of the church was because it was the tallest building. So it was the most practical to put it there. Everybody could see the time. It has nothing to do with Avodah Zorah. So we learned in the Mishnah, Hamotzi Gecheles to Rishus Rabim. If somebody carries out a Gecheles to Rishus Rabim, Chayiv. Veshalheves, but if he carries out only the flame, it's Potav also. Ask the Gemara about time, but we learned in the Braisa, Hamotzi Shalheves calls you Chayiv. That if you carry out a Shalheves, you are Chayiv. Answers the Gemara, Amrav Sheishis, Kigon Shekit Sibakisim. The Brice is not discussing where you just carry the flame. You carry the flame on a splinter of wood. Ask the Gemara, if you carried it on a splinter of wood, V'tepikle B'shem Kisim, then you're not chai because you don't have to talk about the flame. You could talk about the wood. The Shita says the Gemara, that's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. The Shita learns the Gemara's question is you should be chai two times, once for the wood and once for the flame. says the Gemara, but the less l'shuri, that the wood that you carried out doesn't have the right amount to be chayiv for carrying. The Tanan, because the Mishnah says in Masechta Shabbos, ha-moitzi etzim, how much wood do you have to carry out to be chayiv in Shabbos? Kedei levashel be'yikala, the amount of wood that's needed to cook the easiest egg. When we learned this, we explained that was a chicken egg. That's the egg that's cooked quickest. So here you carried out less wood than that. So for the wood itself, you're not chayiv. Why you chayiv here? Because you carried a combination of the wood, even though it's less than the shear, with the flame. So the Meiri asks a question. He says the halacha is that let's say somebody's carrying a big box. The box is very big. In it you have food. And how much food are you carrying out? Less than the shear of food. So you're certainly not chayiv for carrying out the food. You carried out less than the shear. But you're also not chayiv for carrying the box. The box is a big box, because the box is considered bottle nullified to the food. So asks the Meiri, if here a shalhevis we're learning in our Mishnah is insignificant, why is the kisein not nullified to the shalhevis? So he explains as follows. He says, when you're carrying out food, so you carried out less food than the shear. Less food than the shear is still food. It has its independent significance. So since it's independently significant, and the box is nullified compared to it, so you're not chayiv. The food you didn't carry out enough, and the box is bottled to the food. A shalhevis is nothing. So you can't suggest that the kisein should become bottled to the shalhevis, because the shalhevis by itself is not like food, that something, just not enough of it. It's nothing, and that's why the Gemara suggested that if you're carrying out a kisein, and it has the shear, you're chayiv, even though it has a shalhevis on it. Anyway, the Gemara says at the Maskana that since you're carrying kisein and shalhevis together, it gives it a significance and you're chayiv. Abai gives a different example, what the Bryce is referring to. He said the Bryce was referring to a situation, going to Shaifa Mona Mishra. You took a vessel and you smeared it with alcohol, Vitle Beinur, and then you put on the fire. So Rashi says, what was wrong with the first explanation we gave with a kisein, that a buyer needs to give us another example? So Rashi gives two explanations. One explanation, Rashi says, and they're almost diametrically opposed. The first explanation he gives is that a buyer didn't agree to the situation of a kisein. He said, because if you have such a small piece of wood with a flame, it's never going to last. It's never going to come out that you can carry it out, because it's a small piece of wood, and you put it on fire before you know it, it's out. However, you take a vessel and you light it up, that will take longer, so it becomes more of a relevant shayla. That's Rashi's first pshat. The second pshat is just the opposite. Abaye agreed, certainly if you take a piece of wood and you put a flame to it, that's something significant. However, if you take a vessel, you see this parchasness, if you take a vessel and you smear it with alcohol, it's not the vessel burning, it's the alcohol that's burning. So I would say, since it's not the vessel that's on fire, so you're not really carrying anything. It's just the alcohol that's around the vessel that's burning. So perhaps I should think you're not chayiv. That's why Abaye came to teach us that even in such a case, it is considered that you carried out something significant. Ask the Gemara if that's the situation, that you took a vessel and you smeared it with alcohol and you're carrying it out. So why do we have to talk about the shalhevis? Take blame shemana. You should be chayiv because you carried out the vessel. Says the Gemara, b'chaspa. It's only a piece of earthenware. Ask the Gemara, b'tepkele mishum chaspa, and carrying an earthenware is also prohibited on Shabbos. Answers the Gemara, b'dales be'shuri. We're talking a piece of earthenware that isn't the right size that you chayiv for carrying on Shabbos. That's not, because as we also learned in the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, cheres, what is the minimal amount that you chayiv for carrying out a piece of earthenware? K'dein litein ben patzim l'chaveri d'ver Yehuda. The amount that's put in, so where did the Gemara explains it in Masechta Shabbos, we're not going to speak about it at length, is if you make a frame, I guess they had problems with builders in those days also, if you make a frame, so sometimes the frame isn't made perfect to fit the window, and you have a space, so what do? They used to take a piece of earthenware and use it to plug up the hole. That's the minimal amount of cheres that you carry, that you chayiv for carrying in Shabbos. Here we're discussing a situation that there isn't that much cheres. So you're not chayiv for carrying the cheres. Why are you chayiv here? Because you have a combination of the cheres and the shalhevis. Actually, we learned this Gemara, we think it's not that relevant, la loch la maisa. but it's very relevant. I saw two shailas that come up. One shaila is, may one wear on Shabbos Yontif a hearing aid? A hearing aid has a battery in it. Or may one use on Shabbos Yontif a heating pad? Obviously, you had it plugged in from before Shabbos Yontif, because in it is a shalhevis. And our Gemara is saying that if you have something with a shalhevis, you're not allowed to carry. You're not allowed to use it. So are you allowed to wear such a hearing aid, or are you allowed to use such a heating pad? Rav Henkin already discussed the shaila of the hearing aid. The Chalkus Yaakov discussed the shaila of the heating pad. And they say you cannot compare a heating pad or a hearing aid to a shalhevis. A shalhevis is real fire. A hearing aid, the battery, is only energy. It's not fire. Our Gemara is discussing fire, that you're not allowed to carry fire, but to carry energy is the dovish aimed by mamish, and you're allowed to use the heating pad, and you're allowed to wear the hearing aid. You're not allowed to turn on the hearing aid, but you're allowed to wear it if it's not on for Yontif. Ask the Gemara, now we go back to the Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, El Adotan, Hamotzi Shalhevis Potter, if you take a Shalhevis from Mishus HaRabim, Mishus HaYokor, vice versa, you Potter. So now, if our Mishnah is not discussing that it's attached to something, because we just finished explaining that if it is attached to something, you are chayiv. So now I ask the Gemara, if it's not attached to anything, how do you transport just a flame? Hecha mishkachslo. What's the case of the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, going to ad yadui l'shus rabim. You have a flame in one rishus, it's not attached to anything, and you just blow it into another rishus, and our Mishnah is telling us for that you potter, because a shalhevis is considered something that's aimed by mamish. And the Hatzvi says, Lahaloch Lamaisa, from this Gemara, very interesting concept. He says that normally we know that on Shabbos to be Chayiv, you have to do an activity, B'yodayim. You have to actually do an activity. Let's say it's only Kaychay. Let's say you only caused something to happen. You're not Chayiv. Here, what's the situation with this flame? You didn't carry the flame. The Gemara says you blew the flame. So you should be potter because it's only Kaychay. Says the Hatzvi, from here we see that carrying is different than all other malachas. And all other malachas, koichai, if it's not your direct activity, you're potter. By carrying, even if it's only koichai, you are chayif. Says the Mishnah. Bar shal yachid, if I have in my property a water hole, the loch is kragle hayachid. It has the status of me, wherever I can walk. Going back to what we've been discussing the last couple of shurim about tchumim, as far as I could go, that's how far I could transport the water. Let's say we have a water pit belonging to the people of the city. It's karagli anshi oiseir. It has the status of the people of the city. So the machloikas Rashi and the Rajba, how to understand this. According to Rashi, since this belongs to the people of the city, it follows the tchum of the city, whatever the tchum of that city. That means, let's say I'm a member of this city, and I have a tchum. I made an eruv in one direction. The water I take out from the water hole of the city, I can't carry where I can go. I can only carry what the tchum of this city is. In fact, the Pnei Yeshua discusses, what will be the din if most of the city made an eruv in one direction? So how do we look at this water hole? Do we say we follow most of the people of the city, and most of the people of the city made an eruv to the east side, to the west side, whatever? Or do we say that the Mishnah is teaching us that it obtains the eruv of the tchum of the city irrelevant of what the status of the people are? It's machlokes to Rosh Yosef and the Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua says it obtains it stays always the same, the tchum of the city. The Rosh Yosef says that most of the city, most of the residents of the city have an eruv, it follows where most of the people in the city could go. But the Rajba and the Ravid have a different understanding of the Mishnah. They say this goes with Breira. Breira tells us that when, as we've been learning for the last few shurim, that when I pick up the water from this water hole on Shabbos Yontif, it's retroactively established that this is where, that this was my water, and therefore I could go wherever I could go. So according to Rajba and Ravid, it doesn't depend on the city, it depends on me. And if I made an eruv, it could go with me. It makes no difference what the status of the city is. However, the Mishnah Berurah says, what's going to be the nafkamina between Rashi and the Ravid? Interesting nafkamina. He says, let's say the person that picks up this water is not a member of the city. So if you learn, like Rashi, the water has the status like the city. So it makes no difference if I'm a member of the city, I'm not a member of the city. That's the status of this water. But according to the Rajbi that's saying it's going according to Breira, it's only relevant to a person that's a member of the city, that retroactively it's shown that this was my water. If not a member here, I have no relationship to this water, and I would not be allowed to carry it. V'shloili Bavel, continues the Mishnah, they made water holes for the people that went up from Bavel to Tetzisrael. The halacha is Karagla HaMemala. It has the status of the person who draws it. That means, as Rashi tells us, yesterday we learned, there's Machloikus Rabbanan Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Cheftse Hefker. If something was ownerless at Bein HaShmashes, which is the defining moment for Tchumim, so according to Rabbi Yochanan, it obtains whatever it was at Bein HaShmashes, even though it's ownerless, that is its space of residence, that's its Makom Shvisa, and from there it has its Tchum. So Rabbanan disagree. So Rabbanan hold Cheftse Hefker ain't a kind of Shvisa. There's no Shvisa in Cheftse Hefker. What point? So now if I take water out of this pit, which is Hefker, so here Rashi uses the concept of Breira. Rashi uses the concept of Breira that retroactively is shown that this was mine from before Shabbos and Yontif, and it gets my Tchum. The Rajbin Ravid again disagree with Rashi. Before Rajbin Ravid used Breira. Here they don't want to use Breira. Here they said this is a special din, that the water that's picked up on Shabbos Yontif, that's when the clock, so to speak, starts ticking, and we don't use Breira. Says the Gemara, Ramele Ravel Rav Nachman. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Barsha Yochid Eregle Yochid. If I own a pit with water, a well, it has the status where I can go, that's where that water could go. For a minute, asked the Gemara a question. It says in the Braisa, Naharas HaMashkin, rivers that flow, or Mayanus HaNovim, streams that are live, Harein Karagli Kol Adam, they're not kind of Shvisa, because they're flowing. So here it says that the river, if I own it, follows where I can go. And here it says it doesn't. It says the Gemara, I'm a rabbi, how come our Mishnah is not speaking about a flowing river, it's talking about a standing river. A flowing river, given that it's constantly moving, is not kind of shvisa. Something that's standing is kind of shvisa. So we learned Amrav Chibar Avin Amishmul. Amish is talking Muchnosim, something standing, and that's why it's kind of Shvisa. The Rashba says, an interesting din based on this Gemara. It was relevant, not so much now. It used to be very common. The halacha is, he says, let's say somebody's traveling on a boat on Shabbos, and the boat comes to dock on Shabbos. So says the Rashba, says the halacha, this is a Gemara Masechta Erevin, that if you're now within 2,000 amos of the port by Bein HaShmashes, so that means you travel past Yitchum, and you can't get off the boat. That's a Gemara Masechet Erevin. Says the Rajba, when is that said if you were in standing water? But our Gemara just taught us that water that's flowing, you're not kind of Shvisa. So says the Rajba, big chiddush l'kula, that if you were more than 2,000 amos away from the port, but you were in moving water, you have no problem, because our Gemara says that you can't be kind of Shvisa in moving water. The Bialocha quotes the Rajba, and he says that it's obvious that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't agree with the Rajba, because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring down this distinction, and he explains why. He says, our Gemara is discussing the water itself. So water which is moving, you can't say was kind of Shvisa. It's moving. The Alocha that we're discussing about the person on the boat, we're not discussing the water, we're discussing the person. The person is stationary and is kind of shvisa on the boat. So even, says the Bi'ur Halacha, if the water that the boat is in is moving water, if it's more than 2,000 amos away from the port, you can't go off the boat if you dock on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah, the Shalali Bavel, the water from the pit, from the Eili Bavel, is Karagle HaMemala. It has the same tchum as the person who draws the water out from the pit. Itmar. What's going to be the halacha discussed with the Gemara if I take out the water from the pit, not for myself, for my friend? So if I intended that it should be used for someone else, I'm just doing him a favor, it has the tchum of the person who I took it out on his behalf. It obtains the status of me who picked it out, who took it out, even though I did it on behalf of someone else. Says the Gemara of Maikam Efki, what's the basis of the Machlokes of Rishashis or of Nachman? Ma Sover, says the Gemara, Beir Dafkeiru, Rav Sheshes holds that it has the status of Hefker, or Masav Aber the Shutfin. So the way that Rav Shalom explained the Gemara is the Gemara Bamitzia, a very Bechidish. The Gemara Masechta Bamitzia says like this. Let's say I'm walking in the street, and I see something that's Hefker, an ownerless object. So I pick it up. If I pick it up for myself, it becomes mine. Half of Masechta Bamitzia discusses that discussion, Shailah. But let's say I have a mind, I'm a nice guy, I don't intend to keep it for myself, I'm picking it up for you. Says the Gemara, I can't pick it up for you. Why? Because the halacha is, why could I be koina something on your behalf? Why could I acquire something on your behalf? Because the halacha zochon la'adam shlo b'fonav. I can make a kinyan on your behalf, I'm doing you a favor, even though you're not here. However, the Gemara Masechta Bamitzia says, that's only when it's not in a place that's chav lachrini, where I'm not causing damage to someone else. Says the Gemara, if I pick up this object that's hefker on your behalf, so it's to the detriment of the rest of the world, because now you're going to have it and no one else. So if it's hefker, I can't do it. So that's what the Gemara, that's the machloikas is here. According to Rav Nachman, the water in the pit is hefker. If the water in the pit is hefker, if I pick it up on your behalf, it's chav lachrina, so it doesn't work. And that's why he says kiragli hamamale. It's only like what I, only my tchum, I can't do it on your behalf. On the other hand, the other man holds kiragli mishnas malaloi. He holds that it's a bear of shutfis. Shutfis is not hefker, and therefore I could pick it up on your behalf. So again, the machlokes is, according to Rav Nachman, kiragli mishnas malaloi, it has the status of a bar of shutfis. According to Rav Sheshes, kiragli hamamalei, it has the status of hefker, and since it's hefker, I can't pick it up on your behalf, because it's chav lachrina. Ask the Gemara, Eisvei Rav Nachman, it says in a braisa, in Masechta Nedarim, hareni alecha cheirim, if I say that I am cheirim to you, so the halacha is, Hamudar Asr. You're not allowed to have any benefit from anything that I own. If I say, Hare Ato Alai Cheirim, that you are to me Cheirim, then Hanoidar Asr. I'm not allowed to have any and all from you. If I say, Hare Nu Alecho Vato Alai, I am also to you, and you're also to me, the loch is Shnei Masurin Zebazeh. I can't benefit from you, and you can't benefit from me. However, Mitar Mishalei Lebevel, something that's not owned by either of us, we can have benefit. The Surim B'Shalai Seir, but something that's owned by the city, where we both have ownership, we have equity in these items, so since we prohibited each other, we can't benefit. List the Braisa. Ve'elein Dvarim Shalai Lebovel. What's considered something that we don't have ownership from? Harabayis, Halishkois, the chambers in the Harabayis, Azaris, Ubar Shal Azar, Emtzai Derech, the bar. So what do we see from here? That the bar is considered Hefker. What is considered belonging to the city, and since we're members of the city, it's considered like we own these items. Harachoyv, the marketplace, Beis HaKnesses, the shul. The Paiskim discuss that there may be a difference in the Beis HaKnesses of a village and the Beis HaKnesses of a city. The Beis HaKnesses of a village, the halacha views as if it's owned by all the members of the city. The Beis HaKnesses of a city, given that it's a metropolis and people come and go, it's not viewed as strictly owned by the members of the city. It's owned like, it's like Hefker, it belongs to everybody. Or Beis HaMerech, it's the bathhouse. Ask the Gemara, the Amrit, if you, Rav Nachman, say, ask the Gemara, Beir the Shutfihi, that a bar is considered not Hefker, it's considered that we both own it, then that's why when I pick up the water on your behalf, it's effective, as we learned in the bottom of Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, Amai Mutter, why can we both benefit from the bar? But Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Hashutfim Shinodu Anor Zobazeh, if two partners said that we can't benefit from each other, Aserim Lekonis Lechotzer Lerchus Vabar, we can't use the bar to wash because you're benefiting from me and I'm benefiting from you. So if, asked the Gemara, just to summarize, Rav Nachman holds that the bar is considered a shutfis, so how could the, if Rav Nachman says the bar is considered a shutfis, why does the Braisa say that even though we made a nether, that we can't benefit from each other, we could still use the bar is shutfis, and the Mishnah says that anything is shutfis, if we made a nether that we can't benefit from each other, we can't use. So Taisus asked, Taisus quoted Taisus Yeshanim, why does the Gemara have to quote this Mishnah? The Gemara could have just asked the question with the Brice that we learned before. The Gemara in Amud Aleph says, that Rav Nachman holds it's a Shutfus. And here we see that it's not a Shutfus. Why does the Gemara have to introduce this Mishnah? So Taisus says, the truth is that the Gemara could have asked the question without quoting the Mishnah. The reason the Gemara brought down the Mishnah is whenever we have a kasha from a Mishnah, it's a stronger question. So the Gemara wanted to lend strength to this question, so it quotes a Mishnah. But the question is an independently difficult question without quoting the Mishnah. I saw another nice part, the Mefarsh Mask. The Brice that we quoted in Masechet Nedarim first speaks about where I said, I can't benefit from you, you can't benefit from me. And then the Brice says, well, we make that we can't benefit from each other. What's the purpose of teaching us the third case? The third case is really a combination of the first two cases. Why did the Brice have to bring down the third case? So I saw that the Mefarshim answer that one might think that when we made such a strong neder, I can't benefit from you, you can't benefit from me, there we maybe should be more machmer, and even the things that are not considered shutvis, but given that we made such a strong, powerful neder, we should not be allowed to benefit under any circumstances, teaches us the Brisa that even when a strong neder is made, it only affects items that are shutvis, not items that are not a shutvis. So now we have the question. According to Rav Nachman, that the bar is considered shutvis, why are we allowed to benefit that we made this neder? Answers the Gemara. Hachinami. Says the Gemara, Enachinami. According to Rav Nachman, given that the bar is shutvis, if we made a neder that we can't benefit from each other, we cannot, neither of us could go into this bar to wash. What's the case that this Brisa says that we can use the bar? Vachimai, skin lamalis. We only want to use the bar for drinking water, to draw out drinking water. And ma'am did they come amala, ma'am did they come amala. We rely on Breira. What it says is that if I draw water, so the water I draw, Breira says that this was always my water, was never yours. And when you draw water, my partner draws water, was always his. When is there a problem? The water that we wash. So all the water in the bar is being used to wash. So I can't use your water, you can't use mine. But when we're drawing water, Breira identifies that this was always mine, not yours. You can't prohibit something that belongs to me, and the same vice versa. Which means to say, the Rav Nachman subscribes to Breira. Ask the Gemara, the Sover Rav Nachman Yesh Breira, does Rav Nachman subscribe to the concept of Breira? The Gemara is going to prove from a Gemara Masechta Shkolim that he doesn't subscribe to Breira. But to explain this Gemara, we have to say two words of introduction. One word of introduction is that we know that every tenth animal, we had to take off Maisa Behema. But there's a halacha that you only have to give Maisa Behema if you own the animal by yourself. If you own an animal b'shutfis, you don't have to give Maisa Behema. Then we learned another halacha in Masechta Shkolim. The Gemara said like this, we know that the halacha is, you have to pay machzis shekel every year, everybody has to contribute a machzis shekel. But the machzis shekel is a small coin. It's not a very useful coin. So the administrators of the base of Migdash would take the machzis shekel and exchange it for larger coins. But you know, nothing's for free. So there's a service charge when you exchange small coins for big coins. That service charge is called a kalbon. So Chazal said that when somebody gives a machzis shekel, he has to add a kalbon, that the Hegdash shouldn't take a loss when they pay for this service charge. The Gemara says a step further. Let's say I want to be a smart person. So I go, me and my friend, and we say, you know what, we'll give a whole shekel together. So now the Hegdash doesn't have to exchange it. They already got a shekel. Chazal said, you can't beat the system. You still have to give a kalbon. They only made one exception. The exception is, let's say a father is giving a shekel for two of his children, for two of his sons, then he doesn't have to add the kalbon. Says the Mishnah in Masechta Shkolim. Ha'achin shutfim. If you have brothers that are partners, k'shechiyavim b'kalbon, if they have to each give a kalbon, so it's a proof that they're considered partners, so b'turim ma'aseh b'hema, they don't have to give ma'aseh b'hema, because we just said partners, never have to give ma'aseh b'hema. U'k'shechiyavim ma'aseh b'hema, if they're not considered partners, if they consider that the state, it's just one estate, so it's not partnership, So ma'aseh behemah they have to give, but turman ha'kabon, it's like a situation that a father is giving for his children. So let's say we have an estate that wasn't divided, the simplest case, an estate that wasn't divided, you would have to give ma'aseh behemah because it's not a partnership, it's one estate. It's considered the father's. On the other hand, it's like a father contributing for his son's the machzor shekel, and you don't have to give kalban. So the kalban and the ma'aseh behemah travel in opposite direction. This continues the Gemara. Omer Rav Anan lo shanu, when it's considered that they divided el shecholke gedoyim keneged tloyim the tloyim keneged gedoyim. Now let's say when they divided the father's estate, one son took goats and one son took sheep. So then, even if they recombine, they're not considered anymore an estate. They're considered a new entity, which is a partnership. Let's say they divided everything right down the middle. You took half the sheep, and Tulaim connected Tulaim, and I take half the sheep. You take half the goats, and I take half the goats. And then they recombine. It's not considered that they were two separate partners that now decided to recombine. We rely on Breira. That Breira tells us that this was mine in the first place and this was yours in the first place. And now when we combine, we're just restarting the estate. And that's why, under such circumstances, according to Rav Anan, let's just be clear, if they divided right down the middle, half the sheep, half the goats, and then they recombine, it's like the estate was never divided. And since it's like the estate was never divided, they would not have to give the kalbayim, but they would have to give ma'aseh behemah. Rav Nachman disagrees with Rav Anan. Because Rav Nachman says, this concept that Rav Anan is expressing is based on Breira. Rav Nachman says, afilu chokei gnoyim keneged gdoyim, or tloyim keneged tloyim, ein oyim zeh chalkem rishon rishon l'kach. We never say Breira. So ask the Gemara, how did we explain this price in the top of the Amid? That according to Rav Nachman, if we each drew water that we to drink, we could take it, even though we made the nether, because we're relying on Breira. From here we see that Rav Nachman doesn't agree to Breira. Answers the Gemara. Everybody agrees that the bar is Hefker. So if the bar is Hefker, we go back to the question that we began the shiur with. If the bar is Hefker, the sugya, according to Rav Nachman, why is the halacha that if I pick up water on behalf of you, it's considered fine, didn't we explain that if I pick up something hefker, it's chav lachrina, it's to the detriment of the rest of the world, I can't be zoichen it on your behalf? Says the Gemara, let's say I picked it up on your behalf. So everybody agrees, this is what we have to understand the Gemara, everybody agrees that I can't acquire it on your behalf. Why can't I acquire it on your behalf? Because it's chav lachrina. The question is, what happens at that point? Do we say that since I can't acquire it on your behalf, it becomes mine? And once it becomes mine, it gets my tchum. So even if afterwards I give it to you, too little, too late, it already received my tchum. Or perhaps, that's what Rav Sheshes learns. Rav Sheshes learns that since I picked it up on your behalf, that I couldn't be zoichen it on your behalf. Why? Because it was chav lachrinei. So now it becomes mine. Rav Nachman holds, yes, it can't become yours because I can't be koinin on your behalf. But it doesn't become mine either. I never intended that it should be mine. So what does it remain? It remains hefker, remains ownerless. So if then you're the first person to obtain it, so then you are koinin. Not because I was koinin on your behalf. I can't be koinin on your behalf. Everybody agrees I can't be koinin on your behalf because it's hefker. But this remained hefker because I never had an intent to be koinit. So then when you become the first person to take it with an intent to be koinit, it becomes yours and to no one else's. Let's read the Gemara inside. If I picked it up on your behalf, masava kana, even though I didn't intend to be koinit, automatically becomes mine. Or masava, that's what Rav Sheshes holds, and that's why it gets my tchum. Or masava, Rav Nachman holds loy kana, that it becomes yours. Why it becomes yours? Because since I didn't intend to be kind of it, it doesn't become mine, it only becomes yours.
How does it impact on reservoirs? Why? Because the water is coming from Chutz Tchum. The water is coming from Chutz Tchum. So how can we drink water nowadays? First of all, the water you're getting tap is probably nearby.